August the 7th, 2016, in the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, US of A. God's good, great planet Earth. Thank you for coming by my website today. I've always loved classical music because it kind of sets the tone for behavior and disposition sometimes when you're going through difficult times, especially. Such a beautiful day in Los Angeles. I'm going to ride my bike probably after I do the webcast. It's been a very slow morning and I want to get some exercise in, but I wanted to talk with you. How are you doing, my listeners, those of you that come to the website from time to time? How does my rants make you feel? What's the bottom line? What do they leave you with? Am I disturbing? Am I still following hard after God? After all, this is a Sunday morning. It's about 1:30. I would be either on the way home or at a restaurant with my wife and daughters, or sending my wife on home in her car, and I'd probably still be at the church having a discussion with a couple of brothers on a point of theology until about 3 o'clock, until I get a phone call from Lucy telling me, "Your dinner's getting cold." I love being with my brothers. You know that? When I was in the church, that was a great time. It really was. It wasn't just meeting with a few Baptist brothers. They were my family. Best time of the year for me were the men's retreats. We had women's retreat too. I supervised both of them. It was before they had the female preachers, and I would never hire one of those to talk with my women anyhow. If you really want a good example of what I used to, why I say that, you have to go to my YouTube clips. My YouTube address is John Cole, JohnCole, 1234. And type in the Mary Factor and watch that whole series. That was me. I'm going to attach a YouTube video clip to today's little rant, because I want you to see me back in June of 2011. I know it's a while back. I'm the same man. I've gotten a little old. That's a theme from Elviramatic, I think. One of my favorite pieces of music. Listen to that. Nothing like this music. Nothing like it. So soothes me. Yeah, I miss a lot of things, but you know, sometimes, and as a matter of fact, this video clip that I just referred you to, that you've probably watched already, is me saying that I don't have confidence or trust in the church, because here now in 2016, we see how deep that institution has sunk. And I'm not talking about keeping some moral standard or some moral code, because none of us can rightly keep all of that. Though I believe that all of us can be freed from the inappropriate behavior that so mars our life, I believe that God can keep us from that. I don't believe that we can do that ourselves. Only God can do that. And I believe that when we commit ourselves to God, and when we take a very hard, close look at ourselves, we are able to determine, we're able to see, we're able to conclude that we require someone far greater than ourselves in order to keep us from falling off of the wagon altogether. See, and that is some of the difficulty that I have these days, is because the church yet refuses to speak to itself. I got up this morning. I got up early enough to go to church. I was going to put on this new black suit that I bought, and I was going to visit one of the institutions. And I just laughed and laid back down on the pillow and said, get a couple of hours more sleep. I really did. I got up this morning and I wanted to attend, not the church that I pastored. I just wanted to arbitrarily walk into a Protestant church, any Protestant church, Hispanic, white, black, mixed, Chinese, whatever. I had to be able to understand the language, but I wanted to go there. I didn't. The reason that I didn't is because I could not draw myself. I could not bring myself. I could not persuade myself that I would do that, because I would just end up at Starbucks questioning myself again. Why do you keep throwing yourself into that corner? Why? Let me share something with you. I may go next Sunday. I don't know. It all depends. As a matter of fact, I spent a little time hanging out with a man that used to be my administrative assistant, and he no longer attends either. And we were speaking about another person that, as a matter of fact, the church that he came out of before he came to the church that I pastored. And the reason that he left the church that he came out of was because his pastor had allowed his wife to take over teaching the men. She was the senior preacher in the church, which forced this man. He knew the biblical mandate that wives are to submit to their own husbands, not husbands to their wives in that way. Now, I understand the both ends of it, and I know that that tees a lot of women off when they hear me say this. I can imagine they're saying, my God, this scarecrow is still alive. Why isn't he dead? I thought that he died. John Coleman is still alive? What? He's still thinking like that? Let me tell you something. I've seen the result of a man following after a woman. As a matter of fact, I was looking at one of my old things, and I think it was on the Mary Factor, and on that sermon I said that no one in this country will ever follow a woman, and here we are in 2016. What are we getting ready to do? Man, we're getting ready to make a woman our leader, and I said it prophetically on a sermon when I was preaching on Christmas Sunday in 1996, I think it was. Christmas Sunday in 1996, I preached and I told them that no man in this country will ever put a woman leading them. And look at what we've done. We've the complete reversal of what the biblical agenda is. And most of our churches today are run by women. And I may be wrong on that because I haven't looked at stats, but here in Southern California, it appears that beautiful buildings, beautiful Methodist red brick buildings pastored by women telling lollipop stories to other women and impotent men. You know, those churches that had the parsonage of, and I always wanted to be a Methodist preacher when I was a young man coming up, because I said, wow, I could live on the same premise of the church. But it would be more practical if I were single. And I was thinking about that, and I said, boy, you should have become a Methodist preacher. But no, my style would have gotten me kicked out. Because I'd preach God's truth. I'm not preaching to please no man. And that's all preaching has become. You know, that infamous, devilish, so-called Christian television station, TBN, Trinity Broadcasting Network, both of its founders, Paul and Jan Crouch, are dead. And when you look deeply, well, yeah, that's the right kind of music for what I was talking about, but I'd rather not. They're both dead. And one day I went to their station to see what was on, and it was nothing but mysticism. Mysticism. I couldn't believe it. Those young people have taken that, but it got started on a lie and it ends up on a sham. Take it from me, one that teaches world religions, and even John MacArthur appeared on their network. I can gladly say that while I was preaching, I never appeared on TBN. Never had anything to say. I think someone may have mentioned my name one time about something that I was involving myself in. Paul Crouch had heard about the intrusion of the apologist, the Hank Hinographs, who, of course, turned out to be a crook. And I'm the black apologist, see. Man, I'm telling you, had a lot of followers around the country. A lot of the young African-American men. I'd travel to the East Coast. I'd travel to the middle of the country. I'd do these seminars. I'd buy my own ticket. I wouldn't charge them anything. I said, just give me a place to lay my head and maybe a meal or two to eat. I feel good. I don't need anything else. And I enjoyed those days when I was traveling around the country doing that. And that's where all these sermons and all these ideas and all this stuff comes from. When you come to my website and you listen to it, that's where it comes from. I want to apologize if I seem to be squirming. I am. I have a terrible hip pain. I've been taking natural medicine for it and pain pills. And I guess if I got to have some pain, I got to own that. And it's kind of difficult, but it's all right. Right now, I'm in pain. But when I think back on everything that I've done in ministry, no regrets. I've said that before on one of my earlier webcasts. No regrets. Oh, I must tell you the truth. I loved every moment of it. I'm not going to sit here in the studio and tell you that I wish that I had never done it, that I wasted my money, that I wasted my time preaching to those people and all that kind of stuff. I'm not going to turn into some angry old minister because his wife died and his children grew up and got grown and lived their lives and went their way. I'm not gonna end up like that. No. I love pastoring a church. It was where my heart is, not was, is. If I were still able to preach the truth the way that I used to do it, I'd be doing it right now. My congregation would look different. There wouldn't be anyone over 40 years old in there because I'd rewrite the rules. And the rules would be, if you haven't learned by 40, you'll never get it. Most of my members would be in their 20s, college-age students with children. And I would tell them, if you want to smoke, smoke. If you want to drink, drink. If you want to pollute and poison your bodies and do things like that, fare thee well, do it. But if you want to live, you know what? And I've come to this because I'm 72. I was visiting a friend, a newfound friend, and he told me, he says, "You really look dynamic for 72. And I said, "I'm so sick of people saying that." And I took off my shirt that I had on. I didn't have a shirt on under it. And I said, "Look at this, look at this." And he said, "You are beautiful, John." He says, "You practically have no fat on you. Your muscle tenure is coming out. You're healthy in mind. You're eating properly. And your heart is deteriorating. Your blood pressure stays high. But you have a young mind. You're floating in this age." And I looked at him and said, "I attribute all that to God. That has nothing to do with me. God must have a reason that he has me looking like this. I don't know why. Maybe it's because he has some task for me to do for him later on down the years. I don't know. And maybe, perhaps, you know, for someone's sake, I'll be dead. Whatever the cause, whatever the reason. And you know what? That's why I'm going to put that. That's why I have the clip up from 2011. Because that was my outrage in the church then. Listen to me now. 5 years later. 5 years later. I still love it. If our country ever does fall to Islam and Sharia law is real, where they cut off the heads of true believers, gladly would I give mine up. The pain would be, it's just like this pain in my hip right now. But anyhow, as I listened to this wonderful music and I sit out here in the Lucy Coleman studio and look out the window at this beautiful afternoon, it's about 1:47. I want to get out there and get in it. I want the sun rays to hit me. I want to ride my bike. Put on my helmet. Put this kind of music in my phone. And ride. Till next time, thank you for coming to my website. I am johnecoleman.org. I would love to hear from you if you have any questions. Some of you have written me here recently. Into the word one, that email yet does work. So I'd love to receive some email from you and to let me know what you think about what I've been saying today. Okay? God bless you. And you know the drill. Whatever you do, you stand to the word of God. And if you don't believe in reading the Bible, excuse me, meditate on God.